All right, again, we are in Galatians chapter 3, and we begin with verse 21 tonight. But before we do that, as we look in Galatians chapter 3, verse 15 through 29, what Paul, he made 4 points that helps us understand the relationship between the promise and the law. We looked at 2 of these on last week. The first point about the law and the promise that Paul made was the law cannot change the promise. And that was in verse 15 through verse number 18. And then we looked at his second point about the law and the promise. And that was that the law is not greater than the promise. That's in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 19 and 20. And so what Paul points out is that Paul points out that the law is inferior to the covenant of promise in at least 2 ways. We talked about last week. Number one, that the law was temporary. And I was in verse number 19. Paul points out that it was added unto the offspring, or the seed should come. But then also, we notice that the law required a mediator. As we looked at that in verse number 20. And so Paul's point is that the law was inferior, but the promise is greater than the law for 2 reasons. Number one, because the law was temporary and it required a mediator. And then the second thing was that the promise was permanent and it needed no mediator. And so therefore, the promise was greater than the law. And so tonight we look at this third point that Paul is making in relationship with the law and the promise. And that is that the law is not contrary to the promise. The law is not contrary to the promise. Let's begin to look at verse 21 through verse 26. He says, is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteous should have been by the law. But the scripture hath concluded, all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, verse 23, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. In verse 24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Now, when you begin to look at that, the first thing that we see in verse 21, there is a question. Is the law then against the promises of God? And so, in other words, is God contradicting himself? Does God's right hand know what the left is doing? And so Paul responds to this, and he responds to that question, and he revealed his deep insight in the ways and the purposes of God. Paul explained that the law does not contradict the promise. Rather, it cooperates with the promise as it fulfills the purposes of God. So the question comes, why was the law given? Why was the law given? Well, that's a very good question. And so what Paul does is that Paul gives three good answers in these verses. Verse 21, Paul explains that the law was not given to provide life. The law was not given to provide life. And so, because notice what he says. He says, after they ask the question, is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given, which could have given life. And so the law was not given to provide life. And certainly the law of Moses regulated the lives of the Jewish people. But it did not and could not provide spiritual life to the people. If life could have come through the law, then that is all that would be needed. But the law could not deliver life. So Paul explains the first answer is that the law was not given to provide life. Secondly, Paul explains the law was given to reveal the prison of sin. Verse 22. The law was given to reveal the prison of sin. Notice what he says. But the scripture has concluded all under sin. And so the law shows the sinner his guilt and the prison from which he needs to be freed. Paul is saying that we are locked up in sin. You remember he told the church there in Rome in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so all of us are confined and shut up with no apparent possibility of escape. And so the law reveals that every escape of sin, and that we are hopeless within ourselves to escape. When you look at Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And so we remain locked in that prison of sin until, in verse 23, until through faith in Jesus, we experience deliverance. Notice what he says. He says in verse 22, but the scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them. But before faith came, verse 23, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which shall afterward be revealed. So ultimately, the law of Moses was a good law. It was good in making us aware of the prisons of our sin. But listen, it is not good at redeeming us from that prison. The law served to prod us into seeing the depth of our inability to save ourselves by perfectly keeping the law. And so that was his second answer. But his third answer, Paul explains, is in verse 24. That the law was given to prepare us and lead us to Christ. Notice what he says. Wherefore, in verse 24, The law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now, when you look at that schoolmaster, it has reference to a tutor. And what Paul does is that Paul used an illustration that was familiar to all his readers. And he uses the illustration of the guardian, because in many Roman and Greek households, well-educated slaves took the children to and from school and watched over them during the day. And the work of the guardian was protection and preparation for the child's maturity. So once the child came of age, he or she no longer needed the guardian. So the law was a preparation for Israel until the coming of the promised seed, which is Jesus Christ. And so the law has performed its purpose, and now the Savior has come, and the guardian is no longer needed. All of these have been fulfilled in Jesus, so that any person who trusts in Jesus and obey him becomes a child of God. And so let's just kind of go back and look for a few minutes before we look at this fourth one. Let's review what Paul said so far about the law and the promise so we can stay on track. Number one, the law cannot change the promise. Number two, the law is not greater than the promise. The third thing is the law is not contrary to the promise. And so the final point Paul makes about the law and the promise is in verse 27 through 29. And that is, the law cannot do what the promise can do. Let me say that again. The law cannot do what the promise can do. So when you look at these verses in verse 27, now notice what he says. He says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ's, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, watch this. The law could not bring us into oneness with God like the promise can. Let me say it again. The law could not bring us into oneness with God like the promise can. Now, if you remember about the tabernacle, there was a fence around the tabernacle, and there was a curtain between the holy place and the most holy place. But all of that has been taken away now through Jesus. And we are welcome into God's presence, and we have a oneness with God. How? Because we are baptized into Christ. And when you are baptized into Christ, verse 27 says, you put on Christ. Now, what is illustrated? What is illustrated here is those words is the changing of garments. It's the changing of garments. In other words, when we are baptized into Christ, we take off the old dirty garment of sin and self. And we put on the holy, righteous robes of Christ. So when Paul mentioned the changing of garments, I'm sure that the Galatians immediately thought of the Roman practice of coming of age. In other words, when the person took off the childhood garments, and they put on a toga of the adult Roman citizenship. But we got to understand what Paul is saying. And listen, we took off when you are baptized, you take off that old sin, that sin. That's why in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So what the promise does is that promise brings us into the oneness with God. It brings us to the oneness with God. So we have to understand that what Paul is talking about, he's talking about three things that the promise can do that the law cannot do. I meant to tell you that earlier. Number one, we just said that the law could not bring us into oneness with God like the promise can. Number two, the law could not bring us into oneness with each other like the promise can. See, the law could not bring us into oneness with God like the promise can, but then the law could not bring us into oneness with each other like the promise can. The law created differences and distinctions not only between individuals and nations, but also between various kinds of foods and animals. And so you remember, you know, the ancient Jewish Pharisees, they often begin the day with this prayer. I thank thee, God, that I am a Jew, not a Gentile, a man, not a woman, a free man, and not a slave. But watch this. Notice how all of this changes in Christ. Because now, in Christ, he says in verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, what we have to understand, this does not mean that our race, political status, sex is changed at conversion. But it means that none of these things separate us from the salvation found in Jesus Christ. Because, see, in Christ, I don't care if you are rich or poor. In Christ, we are all on the same level. We are all one in Christ Jesus. We are all one in Christ, and we have the same access to God as anyone else. And so the promise brings us into oneness with each other. It brings us into oneness with each other. So what did we learn? Number one, the law could not bring us into oneness with God like the promise can. Number two, the law could not bring us into oneness with each other like the promise can. And then here is the third one. The law could not make us heirs of God like the promise can. The law could not make us heirs of God like the promise can. God made the promise to Abraham's seed, which is Christ. Because notice what he says in verse 29. And if you be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed. Now, if you're going to be Christ's, then you got to back up. How do you be that? He said, baptism, where many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. All the spiritual blessings of Abraham and Christ are also passed on to us as heirs. What a great inheritance that we have. But I like how the way Peter describes, and let's look and see how Peter describes. Let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, he says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance. Now notice this, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away. But watch this, is reserved in heaven for you. So if we miss heaven, we have no one to blame but ourselves. So if you want to make it to heaven, number one, you got to do what he said, and that is that you got to be baptized. When you baptized into Christ, you put on Christ, and as a result of that, you become Abraham's seed. You inherit the promise, but also he talks about this, that it's reserved. It's just waiting for you and I. That's why it's so important tonight that we stay focused on God. God is in control. We always trust him and do what he says. Because that's why in Proverbs 3 and 5 and 6, he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. And so this promise makes us heirs of God. So what we've looked at tonight is that we've looked at the relationship between the law and the promise. We see what the law couldn't do, and we've seen what the promise can do. And so next week, Lord's willing, we're going to be going to and looking at chapter 4. So I want you to be studying chapter 4. Because what you're going to see is in chapter 4, we're going to be coming to a section where Paul challenges the Galatians to grow up in their faith and in their relationship with God. And we're going to see how he's telling them to grow up. To grow up in their faith and in their relationship. And I believe each and every day we should be growing in our faith, and we should be growing in our relationship with God. Each and every day that we live. So we'll be looking at chapter 4. Starting on, Lord's willing, next week. And what we're going to find in verse 1 through 7 is where we're going to be picking up. Paul going to take three approaches as he sought to convince the Galatians that they didn't need the law. They didn't need legalism in order to grow up in the Christian life. So read that, and we'll be ready to talk about that on next Wednesday. So I will be opening up for any prayer requests.